Well, I am so glad that all of our listeners are better. I know y'all probably have some really good studies so far. So we're going to start with one of them this morning. Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving us this meeting to come together as Christian family and friends. Please prepare our hearts and minds to be open and listening to your word, light to our lives, and become better Christians so we can glorify you in all that we do. So, I am Tiffany Burns, and like he said, my husband and I have been married for almost 11 years. We have two little girls, one is 8 and one will be 5 this week. And we worshiped here at Eastside for almost 12 years, so very, very thankful to be here. Stop me if you have any comments along the way. Feel free to make comments. You may want to follow along in your booklets. We're around page 31-ish. And there are some questions that fill in the blank along. So we won't actually stop and answer those out loud, but you're welcome to really listen to them. Now, I've got it in hungry, but I'll probably refer up here just because it's bigger and it's easier. So tell me how I need to get out of your way, okay? Alright, so our topic today is glorifying God, biblical womanhood. And our theme verse that y'all probably seen a lot so far. Given to the Lord the glory due to his name. So we're going to be talking about the beauty in God's design for women. So this lesson explores how God is honored when women respect their God-given gender identities and fulfill God's purpose and design. And before I get started, Steve Klein, our preacher here at Eastside, he preached a wonderful lesson on this topic a couple weeks ago. And so if you have a QR scanner, if you want to scan that code, you can scan it now, and you can save it for later on your drive home if you want to listen to him preach this lesson. It was fantastic. So you'll really be benefited if you follow that link or scan that code if you want to do that. So I'll give you just a second. If anybody has one of those, if you want to scan it real quick, can. If anybody has it on their phone, then move it right along. Good. If not, you can find it on our Eastside website at eastside-church.org. You can just go on your service. So that's a really, really good lesson there. So I want you to just look at this picture. Think about what's going on here. This was from a news article in December. It says, Tennessee church puts woman in pulpit, provokes reactions. So I want you to think in your mind right now. First of all, does this bring glory to God? And then I want you to think about one word. Just one word that could describe this picture. Okay? Now, let's read 1 Corinthians. You'll turn there. 14. So keep that word that you're thinking of in your head. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35. It says, let your women keep silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for women to speak in the church. So what word can you think of that would biblically describe this picture? You might want to just call it a word. Don't be afraid. Well, the word I thought of came straight from verse 35 was shameful. So this also led me to this website. And I know this is really a tiny print, so I'll try to read it to you. This is a directory of gender-inclusive and egalitarian churches in the Church of Christ, loosely heritage. And egalitarian, it just means all people are equal and deserve equal rights. So this is basically a website that would list congregations that claim to be gender-inclusive, with women having leadership positions. So here were just a few of the qualifications that these congregations had to meet in order to be on this website. It says women needed to be able to use their gifts to lead public worship, such as leading prayer, giving talks, leading singing, or reading scripture. They needed to be able to use their gifts in proclamation by preaching from the pulpit. They needed to be able to give biblical instruction to teach all ages, regardless of their gender in Bible classes. They needed to be able to do leadership positions, such as a worship leader, a deacon, or an elder, and things like that. So, think in your mind, does this bring glory to God?
There are 70 plus congregations listed on this website. And there's the link where that came from. And I just screenshotted this one just because it has my name Tiffany up there. That's not me. I'm Tiffany Burns. But it says, we are a fully egalitarian Church of Christ where all people are encouraged to use whatever gift they have been given, regardless of gender. Does this glorify God? What biblical evidence do we have where this is taught in Scripture? Turn to Galatians 1. So Galatians 1:6-10, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said them before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Okay, and then verse 10 says, do I seek to please man? Or if I still please man, I will not be a bond servant of Christ. Clearly we know that does not align. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will keep up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Clearly, these things that we've just looked at, there is no biblical evidence to support what these congregations are proclaiming. So now let's change gears and let's think about what integrity is. It's not a word we really use all the time. Think about what your definition of integrity might be. What is integrity?
It's when something is sound, it's able to withstand. Like, I remember when I was in a robotics class, we would talk about the structural integrity of our robots and how certain designs were better than others because they would withstand.
Very good. How do you use that text? Self-connection. That was a good example. So integrity, there's a few examples that I found. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Choosing courage over comfort. Choosing what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy. And choosing to practice our values rather than professing them. And integrity is not something you show others. It is how you behave behind their back. So, thinking on integrity, that's what we have to set our heart right. Integrity of the heart is a critical factor when glorifying God. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, how are we to serve God? We're serving our God with a loyal heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So let's look now at the order of creation. This is the pattern that God has set forth. I'm flipping over to 1 Corinthians 11:3. First Corinthians 11:3 sets this pattern for us. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So this does not mean that God loves women less than he loves man. He loves us all the same, but there has to be a pattern. The authority roles cannot be reversed. Let me give you an example. Some of you may still be students, right, in your high schools. What would happen if the students and the principal swapped jobs? Think about the chaos that would happen. Okay, people are in those roles for a reason, to keep everything in order, maintain authority. So in this pattern, God has set it up this way so that the authority roles are there to keep everything in order. Genesis 2:23. We see from the very beginning that God already had this pattern set up.
We know in Genesis 2:23, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So we know man was created first and then woman. Natural distinctions should be respected and maintained. So God does teach a distinction between the sexes through nature, and that distinction should be honored by his people in honor of him. Romans 1:24-28. Okay, Romans 1:24-28. "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And 28. "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another with men, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." Then we have Leviticus 18:22 as another verse that describes the natural distinctions. Deuteronomy 22:5 talks about how a woman's clothing should be a woman's clothing. A man's clothing is a man's clothing. They should not be swapped. 1 Corinthians 11:14-15. This talks about a woman's hair should be recognizable that it's a woman's haircut. Okay? Then, I don't think I really have to say much about this picture with all that's been in the news lately. You probably are very well aware of that. But a verse that really just comes to my mind when we all see that picture, turn over to John 1. John 1, verse 5. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Think on that again. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." This is true. But I also think that's a metaphor for what our world is today. The darkness does not comprehend the light. Our job is even greater, to shine as lights as women. A quote by John Piper. This is a strong quote, I think. "The issue is not what nature says inherently, but what it says as God's revelation of his design for male and female. God is the wise, loving, purposeful creator and designer of human life. And as such, that will make all the difference. We know who our creator is, and he has given us roles. A role a woman has in the home." 1 Peter 3. This is one we will come back to and reference more. 3:1-7. I'm going to start with verse 3. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord." So we see that God is glorified when we follow his pattern regarding submission. That was verse 1. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that they may obey the word, that even if some do not obey the word, then without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives." So we're going to talk some more about submission and adornment. Women have roles in the church and in society. We'll turn over to 1 Timothy 2. We're going to look at verse 8 to start. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 15. "I desire that the men preach everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel,
with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but be in silence. So again, we're seeing the points that we've already made in other verses. So we see that God is glorified when we follow his pattern regarding adornment, such as modesty, we talked about both inwardly and outwardly. Submission, talked about learning in silence, and how a man has authority over a woman and not the other way around. Childbearing, continuing faith, love, holiness, and self-control. We want to continue reading. Okay. Going back to in the home, we looked already at 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. And then the verse we just read in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 22. And if you'll notice these verses we're reading, a lot of them say a lot of the same things, but just in a different way. So wives, submit to your own husband, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Okay, so if you'll look at Ephesians 5:22, and then look back at 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, what is mentioned in the first verse of each passage about wives? Submit. So submission, do you think that's an important concept for us to really grasp? Is wives or women in general, their role is to be submissive, both to the man, and then to Christ, and then to God. All of those we are under and are to be submissive to. In the church, 1 Timothy 3. Okay, in 1 Timothy 3, you may be thinking, why are we going to read about the qualifications of a bishop? Let's read and find out. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle. Not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. What role does the woman play in a man being qualified as an elder, besides him being the husband of one wife? Think on that for a second.
He has to have children, so who are faithful, and in order to have children faithful, he and his wife need to have children in the first place.
Yep, that's true. That's how the wife is at. So think on this. Does the wife have an important role when it comes to helping her husband become qualified to be an elder or a deacon? Does the wife have any influence on the husband? Look back at a verse we've already looked at in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, 1. What do you see in 1 Peter 3, 1 that lets you know the answer to that question? Does she have any influence on the husband? Do you see anything in there? 1 Peter 3, 1.
The husband's making
right. 1 Peter 3, 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be born by the conduct of their wives. So through a woman's submission, that can win over a husband and also help them on their journey. Think on this, true or false? The wife has equal responsibility in helping a man in preparing to be qualified to serve as an elder. And the woman disqualified her husband? Could he maybe have all the other qualifications, but his wife is not what she needs to be, and therefore he is not qualified? Can she disqualify him? So do we have an important job ahead of us? Older women to the younger women, continuing with the distinct roles that women have in glorifying God. Look at Titus 2. Titus 2:3-5. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, to secret things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So, who do you consider to be an older woman? Not many of you in here I would consider to be elderly. But you all are older women to a younger generation that's looking at you. I know my own girls, my oldest is 8, and she adores these girls, some of you in here. She idolizes y'all. Her and my younger daughter pretend they're y'all all the time. They adore y'all and look up to y'all so much. And I appreciate y'all for being such good examples to them because they're looking up to you. So we all have people that are younger than us that we may not realize that they're looking up to you. So when is a good time to start diligently working to glorify God in our service to Him as a woman? Well, yesterday, right? Every day. Right now. So the virtuous woman. I know if you came last year, y'all did a really intense study on the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. We're just going to go over some of these points quickly. We're not going to take time to read all of it because I know y'all are already very familiar with that. But I don't want to skip over it because it is still a very important example for us to look at. So you know Proverbs 31, 10-31, talks about the virtuous woman. Some of the points that we can pull out from those verses. Her worth is far above the ruby. She's priceless. Her husband trusts her. She does her husband good. She willingly works with her hands. She gets up in the night. And I thought getting up in the night, maybe taking care of babies, preparing meals early in the morning for pack the kids' lunches, or to send the husband off to work, makes food for her family, conducts business and makes a profit. Continuing on, she strengthens herself. She takes care of herself, maybe physically with exercise, maybe mentally with relaxation. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. Spiritually with private study and prayer. She helps those in need. Maybe some examples of that might be visiting the sick and the shut-in, card writing, preparing meals, delivering flowers, babysitting, helping out other people. And the list could go on. She prepares clothing for her family, sewing, ironing, washing, drying, folding, all of those things that must be done to help the household continue to be run smoothly. Continuing with the virtuous woman, her husband has a good reputation, and she helps her husband on his path to be qualified as a deacon and elder. She makes and sells items. She's a hard worker. We see that it says that she has strength, honor, wisdom, kindness. She's watchful. She's not idle. And her children rise up and call her blessed. So some examples. She might, well she does. She raises her children to fear and obey God. She teaches them the Bible through family Bible study and Bible class lessons. She may sing spiritual songs to them in the car. Encourages them to help when she's doing something helpful for someone else to help teach them what they need to do. Her husband praises her. She helps her husband. She's submissive to him and fulfills his needs in a different way. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And emphasis on fearing the Lord. Now I want us to look over at Greek.
Luke is a short, 4-chapter book. It is a beautiful love story. A lot of times you may hear verses 16 or 17 of chapter 1 read at weddings. And it's interesting because the words here in these two verses are not said between a man and a woman. So we're going to read some of those and find out about those verses there. So Ruth, another godly example of a woman glorifying God. We're going to just look at a few points since this is 4 chapters long. Set the stage for you. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. Naomi's husband and Ruth's husband, as well as her sister-in-law, all of their husbands had died. Okay? And Ruth's sister-in-law, her name was Orpah. So we're going to look at Ruth and pull out some quotes about Ruth that show how she had glorified God. In chapter 1, look at verse 14. So their husbands had died, and verse 14 says that they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Naomi is the mother-in-law, all the husbands had died. She had told both the girls, go on back to your families. I'm not going to have any more kids for you to marry. Go on back. They didn't want to at first. Orpah eventually ended up kissing her and telling her goodbye. Well, Ruth did not want to leave her. She clung to her mother-in-law. She was devoted to her family. We see also in verses 16 through 17, these are beautiful verses. And Ruth is speaking these verses to her mother-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you. So how beautiful is that? She loves her mother-in-law so much that she is devoted to her and she's devoted to her family. Okay, look over at chapter 2, verse 7. 2 verse 7 says, and she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, so she rested a little in the house. What do we see here about Ruth? She's a hard worker. She has been out there in the fields gleaning for grain. Gleaning, you know, just means that they've already come and harvested the crops, but they've kind of left some behind, and so she's going up there gathering up what's left over. So she's out there working very hard. So we see her quality of a godly woman is being a hard worker. Chapter 3, verse 3, let's look over there. Chapter 3, verse 3, therefore wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Naomi had given her daughter-in-law Ruth some instructions for going to see Boaz. Boaz is another man that, an owner of the field that was in the family, so she's giving her some instructions. So we see that Ruth is taking care of herself physically. She's getting ready to go see Boaz, so she's preparing for that. Verse 6, on down just a few more verses. So she went down to the threshing floor and did all that her mother-in-law instructed her. So we see she's also obedient to those older and she's submissive to them. Then moving along, the story continues. Ruth and Boaz end up getting married. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. So she's also a mother. So we see here Ruth has done several things in her life that glorifies God. And it's interesting because she was not married to the person through whom Christ's lineage would come through first. That husband had died. And so God had set up his perfect design for allowing everything to happen at just the right time in order for her to be married to Boaz, because her and Boaz had Obed, and then Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David. You know the story continues through Christ's family line. So Ruth was actually David's grandmother. So Ruth was a wonderful example of these qualities. So a woman, a suitable helper,
Look at Genesis 2, verse 18. Then she took it up and listened. I'm sorry, I'm going to go to Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So let's focus in on that keyword, helper. This word serve is a theme for a woman serving God. If we think about the things we've talked about so far, even to this point, what has everything that we've talked about really led back to? Service, right? Being servant. Okay, so I want you to keep that word in your mind as we continue to read on. That woman is a suitable helper. Her job is to serve. Let's look over at Genesis 1. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish and over the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So bearing children is another quality that a woman can do to glorify God. Also, she provides companionship and affection. Back in Genesis 2:18 that we just read, that's a verse that references that. Look over at Malachi 2. Malachi 2, verse 14. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been with us between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Provides companionship to her husband. Back over in Titus 2. Titus 2:4. Again, we read that the women, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. So we're providing companionship and affection. Also, 1 Corinthians 7, 1-5, this is talking about the marriage affection, how she's going to fulfill her husband's needs. She's also going to maintain chastity and purity. Again, there's Titus 2 coming up again. Titus 2, verse 5. Be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. As a woman, when we're not doing the things that God has commanded us to do in His word, what are we doing if we're not? Not obey. What did it say at the end of her stop? So our focus is on glorifying God. The opposite of glorifying could be blasphemy, right? And I know that is the absolute opposite of everything that our goal is in being a godly woman. So, so powerful. Such a strong goal that we have. 1 Peter 3:2, again looking back there. We're talking about maintaining chastity and purity. 1 Peter 3:2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, we're talking about the husband being won by the wife. By their submissiveness without a word, maintaining chastity and purity. Look at Hebrews 13:4. Keeping the thought of maintaining chastity and purity, Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, the fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That is a key point in preparing yourself. As I'm sure a lot of you are unmarried, some may be married, but it is so important to maintain that chastity and purity and to keep yourself pure for your future husband one day. And in that, you will glorify God. And you're going to hear a wonderful lesson this afternoon on purity. She's a wonderful, wonderful example of that, and I know she'll do a wonderful job with it. Another way that a woman will glorify God is by keeping herself spiritually minded. Look back over at 1 Peter 16 again. We come back to that one. Keeping yourself spiritually minded, you may observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And then keeping the home. Again, we refer back to Titus 2 verse 5. And then 1 Timothy, let's go over there, 5 verse 14. Therefore, I desire that the young woman who is married, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And then back over in Proverbs 31, we saw that the virtuous woman did all those different things to take care of her house, clothing her family, willingly working with her hands, making food, taking care of her husband, all those qualities. All point back to our theme, which is glorifying God as a woman, but also that word we just talked about, that a woman's primary job in the whole realm of things is to serve and be a servant. I like this quote. A woman's heart must be so hidden in God that a man has to seek him to find her. Think about that. As you're maybe looking for a future husband one day on down the road, think about where your heart needs to be. And then think about where his needs to be. The man that you're looking for needs to be seeking God, and when he does that, then he will find you. Proverbs 12:4. Let's flip over there. We could find so many good verses in Proverbs that describe a godly woman. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Think about it this way. I know since we were all probably little girls that we dreamed of princes and princesses, and you want to find your Prince Charming if you haven't already. Well, in order to find your Prince Charming, you have to be that crown. And then he will be your prince. Because you have to be an excellent wife to put that crown on his head to make him your prince. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So God approves of a covenant marriage relationship. And not only that, but he calls it a good thing. Good thing. He also said that about creation. Over in Genesis, what did he say after everything he created? And God saw that it was good. He said that about every day that he created, and he also says that he obtains favor from the Lord when he finds a wife, and that is a good thing. So God is glorified in both of these points. So as we're thinking about our job as a woman and how we can better glorify God, it all points back to our word of service. One thing that I would encourage you to do is maybe create a secret, a private Pinterest board, and pin several things about how you might serve God, serve others. Things that you can do, maybe on your own, maybe you and a friend can go together. What are some things maybe that you can do to serve God and glorify Him?
maybe pin a few things, maybe pin a few verses that encourage you and inspire you that you can refer back to and look at often. Try one of those things next week. Maybe we'll pray together and go visit some of the widows. Think on the things that we can do to serve God as a woman. So, concluding, how is God honored when women respect their God-given gender identities and fulfill God's purpose and design? So that was the question or the statement that we made at the beginning of our list. And now let's ask it at the end. So in your booklet, Listening Pathways, so I want you to think for just a minute, think about some of the things that we've talked about, how your role as a woman, young or old, how you can glorify God. We've talked about several different things. Take just a second, drop down a few things that come to mind, and then I want you to share some of those with me. You may be thinking of some things that we didn't even talk about, but please feel free to share those. We can all learn from that. We'll see if that's looking down for about another minute. We'll drop some more things in. Okay. Before we share out loud, I just want you to look to a partner somewhere and just share one of those things with you. You go home and just kind of listen to you. Share one of those things that you found either today or maybe a thought that you had, because I want to hear some verses that you have thought of maybe that we didn't talk about today. So if you just want to like look to a friend beside someone and just share with them one of those things that you know that God will be glorified as you live in your life as a God woman. Go ahead and let's share those with you. Okay, let's bring it back now. I heard some really, really good things, but please don't be shy. Please share out some things. Who wants to share some of the things that you know that will glorify God in your service to Him as a godly woman?
Like being hospitable to guests and all, I can't think of any specific verses where like during Christ's ministry and the early church where there were women who were, their home was serving as a, most English, a place to stay, something like that for the, for the apostles and for Christ. And, one way we can serve Christ is being hospitable to this.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you brought that up. Over at 1 Timothy 3, this is again where we were looking at the qualifications of elders. I'm so glad you brought that up here. Because over in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, a bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable. When you have someone over to your house, your family has someone over to your house, it's usually kind of the backbone when they're inviting them or cleaning up or fixing the meal. Who does that? The woman, right? Sometimes the man does it. Sometimes he helps. But usually it's the woman. So that's a great point. I'm so glad you brought that out because that's another part of helping the man who eventually marry on his path to become qualified as a deacon and elder, and just helping him be a godly man. And speaking of godly man, flipping back to the lesson right before ours, the one that Gary Ward is teaching in the auditorium, I encourage you to look through that lesson and read it. And if they post that one online, which I think they will, listen to that one. Because you listen to the qualifications of being a godly man and serving God, I think will help you in about the kind of man that you're looking for and the things that he needs to be able to do to take care of you in your service. Okay, share with me some of the other things that you wrote. I heard some really good stuff over here. You want to share?
If you find verses in the Bible about being precious in his sight, there's several qualifications for how you're precious in his sight. And I think if we actually strive to see what he considers precious and apply that to our life,
godly woman influences your kids. Being an ungodly woman influences your kids. I see that so much in my job as a teacher. I can tell the kids in my class whose parents spend time with them. I even have some families that were in the church this past year in my class. And I can tell that their parents spend time teaching them things of the Bible because that comes through in your character. And great point, because absolutely. They're talking about Timothy. His grandmother Eunice, or yeah, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice taught him the Bible. Excellent point. Anybody else? Share, please. Don't be shy. Anybody? Catherine. Yes. Anybody else? Scott.
I was thinking about being honored, you know, with the men there, you know, they're honoring their parents and, yeah. Especially with when we're dating and we have husbands, if we don't honor them, we can easily put them down. And that is one scary thought.
Yes.
And I think we learn how to honor our, especially boys, you know, treat them as men, not to put them down.
Yes. Give me 10 more seconds of your time. Any deviation from God's design, like you said, is not permissible. Look at those verses next in your outline. And the last verse I'm going to leave you with, Matthew 5:16, is my favorite verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Thank you all so much for being here today.